There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Monday. I'm Sean. I'll be with you for the next couple hours. Please be part of the show at 343-0106. Lots coming up on today's show. Equifax is paying some money for the breach. We're going to talk to my buddy James Patterson, consumer law attorney, about that at 1:30. State Senator Chris Elliott joining us at 1 o'clock. And this hour, Bill Britt from Alabama Political Reporter and the TV show The View will join us to tell us all why we just now are waking up to the bridge toll subject, and we haven't been talking about it since last year. It'll be friendly, it'll be cordial. I like Bill, but some of the things he said on the show, The View, that aired here on Fox 10 yesterday morning, I just leave me scratching my head. We're going to get into that in a second, but there's a lot more that I have to, not a lot more. There's a couple things I have to clear before I go any further. First of all, Dalton, my fortune cookie today was, your road to glory will be rocky, but fulfilling. Your road to glory will be rocky, but fulfilling. A lot of ways to take that. I'm in one of those moods today. You know, I've given y'all a warning sometimes when I'm in these moods before shows, and I'm in one of those moods today. I don't know why. Maybe that's the rocky part. I don't know about where the glory, you know, talking about glory here on earth or what. Your road to glory will be rocky, but fulfilling. So that's on my... That's on my mind as I get started today with the show. And also, I'm really having a tough time with this. If you heard the story, they just actually reported on it, Westwood One did, a second ago. But this 47-year-old potential Google employee that didn't get the job, you hear this, right? So could be a Google employee. Hey, I wonder what it's like if I search that on Google. 47-year-old employee. Yeah, okay, there we go. Let's see what they say on Google. Will they give me... Google employee. Let's see if they let me search this. Do they block me on this? If I go to news. No. Story doesn't come right up. Dalton, you can see what I'm saying. It's like a second page kind of thing. So, but basically, this reminds they're in trouble, I guess, now, because Google didn't give this job to a 47-year-old that was applying for the job because they're saying now age discrimination. First of all, I'm bothered because I myself am 47 years old, and now I realize I'm in the age cell for age discrimination, which is bothersome. You know, I thought it would be something that would hit me when I turned 50 on my 50th birthday, but now... At 47, I realized that I qualify, at least according to, I would qualify for an age discrimination. I'm old enough now, long in the tooth enough, to qualify for an age discrimination lawsuit. I don't know whether to be frightened by that, angered by that, nonplussed by that. I don't know, but 47-year-old age, and now Google, to solve the problem, they're going to come up with an age diversity committee. This is how we fail. This is how, and obviously, Google, they kind of got the world by the by the stuff. So they're not on the precipice of failing. But this whole idea that you have somebody who doesn't get a job with Google, and I don't know the whole scene behind it, but I can't imagine, I would hope not, at a company as successful as Google, they wouldn't be trying to hire the best person for the job. And if the best person for the job was 23 and not 47, well, tough 47-year-old, you don't get the job. But now Google, instead of making the amends of just saying, hey, we hired the best people for the job. We don't care what they look like, how old they are. We hired the best person for the job because we like to make money, because that's what we're supposed to do. No, they come out and they're going to have an age diversity committee. Is that the most efficient use of the time of people at Google? I mean, I know that they have they got a bar and a cafeteria and a foosball table and a rec room and all that stuff at Google, all the stuff you can do other than actually coding out there. Because they want to retain the best talent. I get it. But now some of them are going to have to sit on the age diversity committee. This is the massive undercurrent of everything people want to talk about. Snowflakes or political correctness or the way our country's gone. It's a situation where this person still doesn't get the job. But as a way to make amends, the mea culpa from Google is they're going to have an age diversity committee to talk about age. What is it? Do we need an age diversity committee in the NFL, Dalton? Maybe we do. Maybe I should be offended. They talk about Brady as the old quarterback, and I got Brady by what, 9 years in age, something like that? Maybe there needs to be 47-year-old pro football players. We need to have some 50-plus pro football players because it's age discrimination if they don't get the job. And they need to have a age diversity committee with the NFL to make sure that there's not there's not ageism going on when somebody doesn't recruit somebody in their 50s to come play for a pro ball club. Because God forbid, or at least they could have a committee to talk about it. They wouldn't actually hire the 47-year-old to throw the football, but they could talk about it. These stories roll and nobody bats an eye anymore. That there's a ton of stuff where you can say whatever ism. Not good at the job-ism. Do we need to have a committee when you don't hire somebody because they're not good at that job? And say, why? What motivated you not to hire this person that wasn't good at the job? You probably should have a committee to talk about how you didn't hire people that weren't good at the job that you were offering. I mean, does this phase Google? I don't know. Does this make things okay with anybody upset with Google? I'm not sure. But it's a... straight, yes. And some people said, like Crypto Marine said, I've been turned down for a job a number of times because of my age. Once I was told off the record, you didn't hear this from me, you are too old. Okay. As much as I hate that, if that company doesn't see the value in wisdom of somebody who can do a job, they have the right to make a bad decision. Ageism. If the job is throwing a football, right, nobody would question the fact that you wouldn't have a 47-year-old quarterback, right? They say, well, because they don't have the physical ability of a 22-year-old quarterback. They don't have the ability, although you look at Brady, looks at older. But the fact that, Crypto Marine, I want to say this, Google didn't change anything. And the decision ended up saying, they're just going to have a committee to talk about it. Just talk about why they should have older people there. Yeah. What if they did some age discrimination for Walmart greeters? We'd be in trouble then. All right, Bill Britt joins us next on Midday Mobile. Y'all, stay close. We want to do this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to talk to Bill Britt with the Alabama Political Reporter, alreporter.com, and check in on the TV show as well, The V. You can check out here at Mobile Sunday mornings at 9. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Don. Nice to be on.
Good to have you on. And a lot to talk about here, but it focuses a lot on that clip from this week's V, and you and the V team, right. At least in the beginning, you talked about other subjects, but, you know, I am the Homer's Homer, so I was focused, okay. Laser-focused on the beginning of the show and the discussion of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and the idea that people here are upset with the idea of paying between $6 each way to cross the Bayway.
Yes.
I mean, would you be happy? Would you be happy if we had a $12 extra a day cost in your commute?
Well, as I said on the show, I think there has to be another way. We don't get to speak on every little syllable of the subject, and I think I'd made my point clear that the two things I emphasize that has become political because, you know, senatorial candidates are weighing in that they didn't weigh in on, that the House and the Senate passed this measure overwhelmingly. And I sympathize with the people of Mobile. I love Mobile. It is one of my favorite places in Alabama. If you gave me a choice of going anywhere in Alabama besides my farm in Etowah County, it would be Mobile. So I understand the passion of people about a toll. I never said I was in favor of toll roads. In a practical standpoint, I understand them, but I also wouldn't want to pay a toll. And I don't think that the people that got upset about that actually listened to a whole lot of what was said. Now, we had some fun, and you know, you watch the show enough that we poke fun at politicians all the time, and what we were what I think Charlie and we found humorous was her saying Ziegler's the troll under the bridge, because he's sort of been leading this charge for about a year. And, you know, Jim's a great guy, but he's also a grandstander. And so we call out all kinds of politicians. I don't feel I need to apologize for the show. This is an opinion show. People say things all the time on opinion shows that I don't agree with. I don't send them vile text messages or send Facebook posts that threaten people with physical harm or using the F word to describe people. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that helps Jim's cause or the people down there at the Mobile Bridge. I think they're better than that. Really, can our discourse not be so coarse that we can't talk to people or have differing opinions?
No, I'm with you on that. This is multifaceted discussion. Problem is, though, I mean, that is, I hate it, but it's just become par for the course. But that's where everything immediately goes to. I mean, people are so tribalistic on everything that it goes to, you know, goes to verbal fisticuffs. And there's a bunch of tough guys and tough girls behind computer monitors. I mean, I've seen it over the years. You get them in person, they back down. But they're all real tough behind the computer monitor. But I got to tell you, as the Homer's Homer down here, when Charlie says that, oh, well, there's all these other ways, they're just complaining, that's like an outsider's perspective. I mean, I'm not trying to invite myself on your show, but I sure would like somebody like me to be on there to say, in fact, let me tell you how, and you did a good job when you said, no, it wouldn't be 40 minutes, it could be an hour and a half, it could be 2 hours, but the idea that the causeway is the same as taking another route takes out the fact that you have to get off on surface streets, get on government, go through the two-lane Bankhead Tunnel. I mean, it's somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, you know, chiming in on a local issue, that they're just inaccurate.
Well, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, I don't check every fact. You know, maybe we should do better fact checking. I think we're known for mostly getting it right. And if Charlie misspoke, I'm sure she'd be the first one to tell you that she misspoke. Again, the reaction has been so far over the top. Of course, these are not people that watch our show. I mean, they were championing Josh Moon as some kind of conservative hero for taking their son. Josh is the most liberal guy in the state.
No, he's, but you know what? He is a liberal guy, but you and I have talked about Josh over the years. There's so many things, like, at a national level that I'll disagree with Josh, but sometimes when it gets into the, you know, what y'all do so well with the website and the show, you're talking about Alabama politics, man, I line up with Josh a lot, you know? And I'm not exactly some vision of liberalism.
No, you're not, and neither am I. You know, my thing is this, and I have been studying on this issue, and I've reached out to Governor Ivey's office, and I've reached out to Senator Shelby's office, and I've reached out to any number of people to try to understand, and this is what I was trying to get to on the show, what is another solution rather than a toll road? Does it have to mean no road, as we've been told, or no bridge, as we've been told? I don't think that's the way it should be. I think there's got to be a way that the people of Alabama can progress the state while not having to pay an extra burden. I never made any other argument.
Right, but I'm just pointing out that on the show, the idea, and I get, we can move past because I've done the same thing y'all were doing. I've pointed out when all the new voices got in on opposing the toll. But I would argue that some of the players here, and I give you a timeline from down here, I had the officials on from ALDOT as of January, and had them, and I made them two different times say that they were going to toll the Wallace Tunnel. You didn't hear the pushback. And this is the subtlety that's maybe lost. You didn't hear the pushback around here for a long time because, and ALDOT, I'm going to tell you, ALDOT has done a poor job of being transparent on things. And they argue to me that the fact that the Wallace Tunnel would be tolled was printed in some document that had come out in the past. Well, you know, I haven't read everything that has come out, and there's been no push to make, there was no pushback then to make it well known that the tolling would be on both. So you didn't hear the hue and cry because people didn't realize it meant tolling on the bridge and the tunnel. And it really took, even though we talked about it in January, it took months and months and months since then for people to realize that. I mean, I still will have people go, well, you'll just go to the tunnel. I said, no, we've told you 100 times. They're tolling both of them. And that's when you heard the uprising from the people. That's when it changed.
And again, let me be perfectly clear. I did not know they were tolling the tunnel until we were talking about it before the show. And I thought, oh, my God, they're going to trap these people. So there's no way but the long way around. I didn't know that.
And that was that's what changed. And there were a lot of people that here, even locally, were like you. And I tell you, I think people, if you wanted to build the bridge, Bill, and then people could choose, even if it was a $6 toll, to take that, they would have that option to do that. You wouldn't hear, I mean, there'd be a few. There's always a few people that are going to push back against anything. There's people that hate Christmas morning and puppy dogs out there. I know. I get texts from them. But if it would have just been the bridge, it wouldn't. But when it hit, the other shoe dropped, that, as they said on the show with me back then, necessarily to prevent the leaky nature of travel, we have to toll both of them. Well, then people said, like you, they felt like, wait a second, we're getting snowballed here. We're getting railroaded.
Yeah. No, and I didn't. And again, you don't have, we had 3 minutes. I think that's what we took, three and a half minutes. Can't get everything in. And look, we have a lot of fun with politicians. There was no intention to offend anybody in Mobile or the people that belong to the no toll thing. That's, you know, we don't try to offend, ever seek to offend people. We seek to offend politicians all the time, because remember, it was the politicians that got us into this mess, not the people of Alabama, but it was the legislature that voted for this. So, and I understand Napoleon Bracey and Victor Gaston have come out against it. Well, but they were for it before they were against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my world, we call that flip-flopping.
Yep.
So again, you know, it's unfortunate sometimes that, you know, when you lace humor into something that people get offended. And look, we don't always know how people are going to take things. And we're raw. We do not hold back from anything. But there was never any intention of offending the people of Mobile. Like I said, you know, we were just down in Mobile the last 2 weeks in a row doing a documentary on the Port of Mobile and what a great success that is. And I think it is a great success. Now, there's probably things that need to be done, but we have been looking at really making more inroads into Mobile because it is such a good city. And I'm not going to take the toll bridge anyway. It's too high for me. I don't want to get that high off.
Well, but the you know, here's the rub, is that I don't mind, Lord knows. I mean, humor is one of the languages I try to lead with and speak with. I think it's just a natural state for me. And I didn't have a problem with that part or even the lampooning of politicians. I think what was irritating to me is, you know, when Charlie went on, and I was like, that's not accurate. And because this is to some people can look at this toll subject and it's cut and dry and it's very simple. But as soon as you peel back the first layer, you won't stop for 20 layers. It is complex. And so I guess, and I know you only had 3 minutes there, but my frustration is there's some people statewide that are watching the V and that are taken from that, this impression that it's this silly little, they just don't want this road and they have all these other ways to go. And they listen to you and they're not down here listening to me. And they get this idea, and we're already, and I got to tell you, I can give you proof, evidence. Let me roll out the evidence room here that the rest of the state seems to gang up on the Southwest, even though they need that sales tax revenue coming out of Baldwin County and Mobile County. And so when that information is coming out that it's not entirely true or very untrue, that is, you tried to check it briefly, but I wanted to make sure it gets checked statewide because there's going to be somebody in Etowah, Etowah County, there's going to be somebody else out there that's going to hear that and go, oh, okay, well, those people down there, they're being paid. And when you talked about the tolling down at Orange Beach and those being concerned, those two things are not related. I mean, other than the fact that Jim Ziegler fought both of them, they're not, if they toll the bridge, it's not going to take away from the concessionaire down at the Gulf.
No, it's not. But one of the issues, and I was told this by someone has been involved in these negotiations. Now, if they lied to me, I have wrong information. But they said that this was written by the mayor of Orange Beach and the mayor of Gulf Shores, who said that the people that own that bridge, and I can send you that link, were the first ones who started a grassroots movement against this. Now, I'm not saying that Ziegler's grassroots is a part of that. Now, I'll send you that link and you can see it. This is not something we made up. Again, I can see your point. And again, I think I'm a fairly reasonable person, except with politicians.
And I think that's fair. We're up against a hard break. Can you hold on over the news?
Sure.
Okay, coming right back. Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter. And yeah, some of the things that he has sent me, the responses after people watching the V, those are unacceptable as well. We'll get into that. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Guest Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter, alreporter.com, and also The V TV show. You can go back and watch the show. I put the link up on the Twitter feed so you can watch the show. It's there in the beginning where they talk about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge toll, but you can also catch The V on Fox 10, 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings here in Mobile. And Bill, I want to give you a second here, too, because I have seen what you've received here in responses after the episode of The V, and that's unacceptable as well. I mean, I absolutely want to second what you said in the first segment. Problem is, I don't know how we get around it now, but the idea of disagreeing and having a debate versus just whole out attacking people, I don't know how we get back. I don't know how we put the genie back in the bottle, but it seems bad out there, and I agree. That's unacceptable.
Well, my thing is, look, we debate issues every day. We write about issues every day, and the hardening, one of the things I had wished for, you know, Susan and I were early adapters of the internet. Before there were browsers, you know, we were on chat boards and things like that. And this coarsening of our language and our discourse, it's just become shocking, because I had hoped that the internet would be a great equalizer. I had hoped that social media would be a great equalizer. Rather, it's become a place where folks can hide behind their computer screen and say the most vile things you would never say in church. You wouldn't even say them in Walmart. I mean, these are not the ways to have constructive discourse. If I'm wrong on an issue, it's okay to say, hey, Bill, you're wrong, and here's why you're wrong. It is not okay to drop the F-bomb every other word, to threaten to slap somebody or cause them physical harm, or to call them slutty or this or that, or demean their looks or clothing. We do see that on a national level, but I think the people of Alabama are better than that.
I do, too.
I really do.
Yeah, I do, too.
I don't have discussions with... I had a very tense discussion with Jim Ziegler this morning, and I never raised my voice, and you didn't either, and we agreed to disagree. But I think once I sent him some of those posts that threaten people and were rude beyond what you would normally see in a bar, you said that to somebody in a bar, you would get your mouth slapped. But again, we're talking about politics. We're talking about issues that people are passionate about. But we can be passionate without losing all sense of propriety and respect for other human beings. I often return to the fact that we're just better than that in Alabama, and we have to get our discourse in line with our moral and religious beliefs and quit all nonsense.
Well, and I'll second that, and it's just that's a side note to the discussion, but I wanted to give you a chance to express on that because I do agree with you. All right, one thing too. This idea that this is a new issue. Now, I understand what you're saying, and I have seen it. I am a hopefully a fair-minded person, that there are lots of new, when I got the email from Roy Moore's campaign last week that they were adamantly against the toll, I said, come on. I mean, that's not particularly organic for the Roy Moore campaign. So I get I get what you're doing because it's valid that there's, it's a new cause celeb, political cause celeb to be on. But at the same time, to say this issue is new down here is absolutely a fallacy. And, I've been reporting on it for years and years and years on the show, to the point that during the news break, I was telling you that I was reporting on this. I remember not too far ago, long ago, it was this 80-20 split. I mean, think about the shock. Think about the rug pulled out from under you feeling when you heard there was this proposed project we've been working on for a long time. It'll be an 80-20 split, 80% federal, 20% local. I was wringing my hands then going, how are we going to come up with the 20% of $800 million or $1 billion? Now we're looking at maybe 7% federal and a project that is $2.1 billion.
Yeah, it's just outrageous. And look, unfortunately, the Mobile area, Baldwin, Mobile County, all that, and Huntsville, Madison County, probably contribute more to the state than any other areas in the state. And you get less attention from the state. I do know that's a fact. It's just like we raised Holy Cane. When they took the money from the BP oil spill and gave it to North Alabama or other parts of Alabama, I'm like, no. And I'm sure I can go back and find that. Well, we were adamant about this was a ripoff, that y'all were the ones that were hurt. I mean, I heard of people getting stuff in Etowah County because their beauty shop was put out of business for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Really? That's not right. I may be wrong on where it was, but there was some place where it was like...
No, you're right. Yeah, I think it was actually Etowah County. But and I've made the argument, you and I talked about it 100 times, that by the nature of the state's lawsuit against BP, they made the case for the money staying in Mobile and Baldwin counties. But and another thing that... Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you look at the Port of Mobile, it makes up 12 to 16% of Alabama's total GDP. Come on, people. That's a lot.
it is. Okay. And one of the points here, too, is that folks will say, okay, there's the reason it's important to help infrastructure down here. And there's also the discussion of, hey, let's look elsewhere in the state. Let's look at the what's going on in Birmingham. Project's not as big, but we're not talking about tolling the 5920 or 2059, whatever the work up there. I mean, that's not going to be a toll road. And people say, hey, wait a second, how's that working?
Yeah, well, and I think Doug Jones has identified some money that might come down. Surely Bradley must know of some money that can come down. I would think Richard Shelby has fought probably as hard as it's possible. But
I don't know because I hadn't heard anything from him. You know, Bill, I mean, I got to just be frank about this. With all due respect to our senior senator and the most powerful politician, you know, obviously, I'm sorry, Governor Ivey, but the most powerful politician linked to our state is Richard Shelby. Sure. With all deference there, I hadn't seen anything that's really impressed me on this bridge thing from Senator Shelby.
Right. And I don't know, and this is something, like I said, over the last couple of weeks I've started to dig into, but obviously not far enough. But my point is, and I'll make this again, is that the idea that the things that I'm learning, and again, I think $6 is crazy. I mean, I just think $6 is crazy anyway, and have.
Yeah.
I said there must be a third way, which I said on the show, and the third way, I don't know yet. I know Governor Ivey said she was welcome to all ideas, but I also think that the idea of a toll road or no road is just as ludicrous.
And that's why I want that. You know, I said, you know, around the passing of Ross Perot, I said I would love to see a Ross Perot-style whiteboard of this project. In other words, say, here's the cost of the bridge. Here's the cost of elevating and expanding the Bayway. Here's the cost of bike lanes. Here's the cost of this. Here's the cost of that. I mean, the way, you know, for a fiscal year here at our locally owned company, we got a budget with line items that I can see something and I can go, okay, that's what makes up that percent of the cost.
Right, right. And again, I think you're absolutely right. We should know, and I think there's a responsibility to let the folks down there know. And again, with my thinking is this, once politicians get involved, it's probably not going to work out the way we would like for it to. And I think that's been my point all along is that, you know, once Roy Moore jumped on the bandwagon and you got Tommy Tuberville jumping on the back, that's all good to bring discussion. But these guys are not coming with any real answers because they don't have any real power here. So it is hearing from Governor Ivey, from hearing from Aldott, from hearing from Senator Shelby that I think is important at this point. Look, I've talked to some of these people, and they asked me, is the toll the only problem? Now, I can't reveal who all said that to me, but their question was, is the toll the only problem? And I said, as far as I know, the toll is the problem.
Yep, yep.
They said, well, okay, then let's look at the problem. Now, I haven't written that because these were first conversations. And you know me, I say back about half or more of what I learned so that when I'm reported, I've still got more out to go.
Well, and
so that's been the conversations I've had.
And that's good. And I would suggest you lean on us down here, those of us that report this, you know, all the time, have been in this, been in these trenches a long time. I mean, a long time on this story, if you want to get, you know, more detail, because the detail is important. I would say something you just said, if you flavor this in the reporting, it just is unscientific, but from the survey of doing 26 hours of live radio a week here, overwhelming majority, except for a very small percentage, I mean, I would say less than 1% of the people I've talked to, they're all for a bridge. The change
right.
comes on the toll. I mean, everybody
right.
would thinks the idea. Listen, I mean, you drive this stuff every day and you deal with it. This traffic is really tough. And the idea of having a way to get more lanes on the Bayway, have a bridge, move more traffic. Almost everybody I talk to, I don't care what side they come on the tolling, they're all for building the bridge. There's just a
right.
large number of people here that go, yes, we need that bridge, but we can't be paying $6 each way. What this means for businesses and families and people that, you know, we're one community. Mobile and Baldwin County aren't, they're one community and
right.
in business and in life. And it's a really big deal down here.
And to me, it, you know, having been down there recently, and like I said, really enjoy all our time there. We drove down to Gulf Shores after we left Mobile and regretted that we left because it took us about as much time to get from Mobile to the beach and then back as it would have. We should have just stayed in Mobile and enjoyed another night in Mobile, because by the time we got down to the beach and had to leave, there was no beach time.
Right.
You know, so I can't imagine facing that on a daily basis. I will look to learn more, and we will look to report more as we learn more about it. If anybody was offended, that was certainly not my intention or the show's intention. I think we have a bunch of good-hearted people who want the best for the state. We just don't happen to be fond of politicians. When politicians get involved, we get suspect.
Hey, one last thing I would offer, because I would hope you would do the same thing for me, and I'm a big when in Rome person, right? So this will help as you do the V. You want to kind of blend in with those of us down here and let us know your time. Second syllable. So, Mobile. Mobile.
Oh, Mobile.
Emphasis on the second. So, Mobile. And you do that, Mobile. And you'll be able to walk right in. And people are like, ah, what? There's another Mobile guy right there. There he is.
I had to remind someone today that Reform, not Reform, Alabama is an important city.
I was taught that by my first general manager in radio in the city of Tuscaloosa when we go to Reform to do, we'll go through there for our tower. We had a tower in Reform. And then I then would drive in that area when I go to Gordo to Mule Days out there.
Absolutely. God's country. I appreciate you having me on, and again, we enjoy our time down there. We plan on coming often, and I will not be taking the toll bridge, because I hope there is.
Good deal. Bill, I appreciate you coming on with us, and tell Susan I said hello.
I will. Thank you, Sean, as always.
All right. Coming right back. Take your calls as well at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Still stuck on this. So I get this in my fortune cookie. Your road to glory will be rocky, but fulfilling. Or fulfilling. Fulfilling. It's always been a hard word for me for some reason. Fulfilling. I hope this is not like some Greek oracle giving me this and it's going to end up not coming out the way I think it is. I was thinking Rocky Mountains or something like that, but it may be something different. All right, to the phones at 343-0106 and Jack in Mobile. First up, hey, Jack.
Hey, John. Good to hear from you again. I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, man.
Call, but you got a very good program, and I enjoy listening.
Thank you.
Have they done any kind of survey, and maybe I've missed out on it. I've heard so much about the toll. Have they done a survey to see how many cars run a day?
80,000, I think, is what we're told. 80,000 is the traffic count.
Yep.
So I think that's cars, trucks.
About doing a diminishing toll? In other words, start off at a certain price, and as the years go, diminish the price.
Yeah, I haven't heard them talk about it. I don't know if that's it's 55 years, and they can actually increase it with inflation. So, and I think that every 2 years, I think they can call for an increase.
Increase?
An increase, my friend.
I was doing some numbers the other night, and to tell you the truth, I didn't finish the numbers. But the money from the numbers I did, I was thinking. I'd call a friend of mine. I said, he lives over that way. He said he thought the numbers was 10,000.
Now, I think 80,000 was what they were saying was traveling through. But somebody may be able to correct me on that, but I think that's the last number I saw. Yeah, think about the money portion of that, and that's what gets me so frustrated. Couldn't we bond that out if we're going to do it? Couldn't the state bond that out? I mean, you have going to the banker and saying, banker, I've got this many cars coming through every day who are going to pay, whatever. I mean, this is going to be 25 cents or whatever. You have a way, you have a fixed, I mean, can you imagine that business plan? Oh, I got a locked in audience. They got to come through here. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, a diminishing number would be good if you start off with a number, and as the years went by, look at the money you take in and start diminishing that price down. I don't know if that would work or not.
It's a thought that hasn't been offered yet, and I appreciate that. That brings something new to the discussion. Jack, I appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Dave in Mobile next. Dave.
Sean.
Yeah, man.
Hey.
Hey.
What? We never did come out. How did they formulate a $6 toll?
how do they come to the price of a $6 toll? And then will it be a difference for trucks? Will it be a difference for cars?
Yes. Yeah, okay, so that part I can answer. Now, the first part, man, I don't know. And that was the thing I argued, too, when they said it was between $3 and $6. I said, you know, I wasn't a math major at the University of Alabama, but I know that if you have a project that's so willy-nilly that your rate of return is 100%, your range is 100% more than your than the base, come on. You got to
But once again, Governor Ivey, Senator Shelby, you know, contribute a lot of the tax base. But also, I was going to tell you about the, a thing about USA, this administration plans to pay for the infrastructure, Trump's administration, by tolling the interstate highways. Have you heard or saw?
Yeah, and David, something we had talked about in the past here that starting maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago, at some point, something changed in the earmarking in Congress. And I don't know if this is the smokescreen to be able to do this, or I need to be able to study if there's real valid reason that they started going to these P3s, these partnerships, because basically the federal government said you can't just allocate money like you used to. But, I mean, if anybody is the biggest dog in Washington in the appropriations world is the head of the Senate Appropriations. I mean, it's Senator Shelby. He may have me iced by this afternoon, but I got to keep asking why we hadn't heard from him.
But still, this is what I don't understand. The Pensacola thing was built, no tolls on the interstate. The Highway 90 bridge over Biloxi, Mississippi, and then the I-10 bridge was built.
They're fixing storm destruction. They were bringing it back. I was told this. They're bringing back to current states the infrastructure that was there. They weren't adding. I'm just telling you what I'm told. That's why they did it on the federal dime, and it didn't come for new funding. They said it was to return the interstate to compensatory, basically, you know, to get it back to where it was.
But where did the 80-20 split come from?
Well, we were told forever. They told me forever it was 80-20. It was going to be 80% federal, 20% local. I mean, we talked about that for 4 or 5 years before all of a sudden.
Will there be a class action suit? Will it begin?
I think there's already a lawsuit. Yeah, I think there's already. I don't know if one's been filed or somebody told me that it was ready to be filed. I think there is a lawsuit that will be in play soon.
Okay, but imagine the people in Mobile who have places to go over there, or even residents down at Gulf Shores going back and forth, we get the shaft in South.
Well, how about business? How about if I got an AC company or something? You know what I'm saying?
I understand. But once again, South Alabama. But nobody is holding Aunt B, Governor Ivey, Aunt B.
Be careful now.
Nobody's holding her accountable, man. Especially the citizens of Mobile and Baldwin County is going to be affected. I mean, we should be in an uproar. Marching on the Capitol.
Well, I know that, and I appreciate your call. I know there are people that have questioned this. I mean, you hear the ads running right here with the Common Sense campaign folks asking people to call Governor Ivey, let her know what they think on this. I saw a story earlier, too, speaking of Governor Ivey, and Dave, good to hear from you. Hearing from Governor Ivey, or no, it was a poll. It's not in front. Maybe it's a morning consult poll or something. Governor Ivey's numbers were down, and they were saying it's because of the abortion ban. Let me point out, I don't think one business has left or a deal has fallen through because of that in the state. Maybe it's because of the gas tax. Maybe it's because of the bridge. Maybe it's because of other issues. Karen is in Mobile up next. Hey, Karen.
Hey.
So what's your take on this?
My take is we don't need the bridge. We just need to widen what we have and have it widened for a long ways.
Help me with that. So why you want to... You want to widen what part, like the Bayway or
I-10?
I-10. Okay, so all of I-10, and then, but what happens when you have, let's say, whether it's coming across the Bayway or it's coming on land in Mobile County, but when you get to the tunnel, let's say you could make it 8 lanes either way, but when you get to the tunnel, it's still just 2 lanes west and 2 lanes east.
You have to widen that part.
Widen the tunnel. You're saying widen the tunnel?
Yes, and then you'd have to widen when they get out of the tunnel until however feasibility thinks it would work.
ALDOT folks are saying that the widening that's part of this project the total package thing. The widening of the Bayway is supposed to be $1 billion worth of that project. Karen, appreciate the call. Run the news here. Also coming up soon, State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us. Lots to do in hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad you're here. News is next.